Micah 4 and 5, who is like Jehovah? That's what the name Micah means. And last week we looked at the judge is coming, or the judgment is coming. And tonight we're looking at the deliverer is coming. And next Sunday the judge is coming. So as we look at who is like Jehovah, if you'll advance it for me one more time, then I might be able to work it after that. My clicker's not moving it forward there now. That down button on the keyboard, if you hit that, there we go. The deliverer is coming. Tonight, there's the first one. All right. We have a very simple outline, just one slide on my PowerPoint presentation about the kingdom of God. Chapters 4 and 5 have to do with the millennial kingdom, when Christ sets up his kingdom on earth. Remember this morning that the mother of James and John, she said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, grant that my sons may be on one on your right and one on your left hand here. And now tonight, we see the millennial kingdom. And as we come to chapter 4, verse 1, it says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And here we see this earthly kingdom that Christ will set up. People will come into it, and everyone will come and worship the Lord. What a glorious time that will be. As we read about this kingdom, chapters 4 and 5, I'll read these verses and make just a few comments on each one. But while Christ is ruling as king in the kingdom, not only is there worship in the kingdom, but there is obedience. Everyone is obedient to the Lord. He rules with a rod of iron. And notice verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And as God's word goes forth, as Jesus rules with a rod of iron, and he gives the word, people will obey. People will follow. It's going to be a glorious kingdom whenever he comes to earth to reign for 1,000 years. It'll be a time of worship. There'll be a time where people are obedient to his word. And because of that, there's going to be peace in the kingdom. Verses 3 through 5 says, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. Isaiah talks about that as well. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And here is the Prince of Peace who is coming to rule for 1,000 years, and there will be peace on the earth. And there's a lot of talk about peace today, but there's not going to be peace until the Prince of Peace comes once again. And so this prophetic passage of Scripture here talks about the millennial kingdom. And as we read these things, we know that these things haven't happened yet. But also in the kingdom, beginning at verse 6, we're going to see for us as believers, we are there, and there is security for us as we are in the kingdom with Christ. Verse 6, in that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast out far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from thenceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. Thou shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. And so here, just before the millennial kingdom happens, according to the teachings of Scripture, right before this is the great tribulation. The tribulation, of course, is 7 years. The last 3.5 years of that is the great tribulation. And notice it talks about verse 6, in that day. In the New Testament, we see the phrase, the day of the Lord. And this is what it's talking about, the day of the Lord. And so here's coming the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years. And right before, right at the end of that is when we're going to see the millennial kingdom ushered in. But those of us who are in the kingdom of God, we're secure. Now, those of us in New Testament believers, we're not going to go through the tribulation, because before that happens, the rapture will take place, and we're going to be with the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we're going to come back with Him when He comes to earth for His millennial reign. But it's secure for us, and it's safe for us, and there's peace for us. But for those who have rejected Christ, He talks about a threshing or a separation there, because that's what the threshing process is, where they separate the wheat from the chaff there. And verse 12, it says, but they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they His counsel, for He shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron. I'll make thy hoofs brass. Thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their grain to the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. And so whenever the Lord comes at the end of the kingdom, at the end of that 1,000-year reign, there's going to be a separation. There are going to be those who go into eternal bliss with the Lord, and there are going to be those that are going to be utterly destroyed at the end of the millennial reign. And He's going to thresh out the saints from the sinners. Now, during the millennial kingdom, there will be some people that are unsaved there. We as believers, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air before the tribulation, but there are going to be people that are born during the tribulation period who will enter in to the millennial kingdom there. And so people will be getting saved during the millennial kingdom, but not all will, and there will be a separation at the end of that. Now we come to chapter 5. We're still looking at the kingdom that Christ will establish here on earth when the Lord comes back. And now we're going to look at the king in this kingdom. Verse 1 of chapter 5. He says, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. And so here it's talking about the king. He's smitten. Now, in the New Testament, we read where they have crucified Him, but He arose victoriously, as we saw this morning. The Prince of Peace was smitten. The judge of Israel was judged unfairly by the people there and crucified Him. And they didn't have peace as a result of it. But individual peace, even though there's not peace in Jerusalem now, God offers peace to any of us who individually put our trust in Him. And so we see this king within the kingdom is smitten. But then in verse 2, a wonderful verse that you know mostly from Christmas time, we are reminded of this verse because it reminds us where Jesus would be born, written some 700 years before the birth of Christ. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And so one of the things we see about this king in verse 1, that he's going to be smitten. He's going to be crucified. But then in verse 2, we see that not only is his birth Bethlehem, but more important than that, we see that he is from of old. He is from everlasting. And so here, the one who is eternal was born. And so this is not Jesus coming into existence, not his coming into being, but rather it is what we refer to as the incarnation. God took upon himself flesh and became a man here. And so the eternal one comes to earth. He's going to be smitten. He's going to die. But one day he's going to rule and he's going to provide peace. Then in verses 3 through 6, we see the victory that he gives as king of this earthly kingdom. Verse 3 and following. Therefore, will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. They shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. And when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land. And so here it's talking about he's going to be victorious. And those that try to invade his kingdom during those 1,000 years, that's what the Assyrian is representing here, there, all of Israel's enemies during the time of tribulation, they're not going to be victorious during the tribulation against Christ, because he is king and he will set up a glorious kingdom on earth. And we're going to be here. It's going to be a different kind of earth. Aren't you glad? It's not going to be like today. And we will have a ruler who rules with a rod of iron. And we will walk in his paths, and he will do what is right and give us peace there. Then we see the next few verses, the remnant. God always has a people. He's always had a faithful. Even at the time of the flood, when only 8 people lived, God always has his people. And even during the tribulation period, he has his people. And of course, he has his people in the kingdom. Verse 7 says, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people. The remnant, the rest, God's people. As a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waited for the sons of men. And here the remnant of God's people, they're like rain upon the grass. So refreshing here. But not just refreshing, but also bold as a lion, verse 8 says, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. And we know that Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he gives us boldness as well. He gives to us refreshing as rain upon the grass. 2 more things about the kingdom of God tonight. First, the destruction in the kingdom, not of the kingdom, but those at the end of the kingdom, his adversaries, they're called in verse 9. It says, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And even though he rules with a rod of iron, and even though there's peace during this millennial kingdom, Satan is bound. And remember, at the end of it, he's going to be loosed for a little while. And all of these enemies, the Assyrians, as it were called here, they're going to come against the Lord, his adversaries. But verse 9 says, they're going to be cut off. Not only that, verses 10 and following, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day, the day of the Lord, there saith the Lord, that I will cut off the horses out of the midst of thee. I will destroy thy chariots. I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand. Thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands here. And so now he talks about destroying the witchcraft, destroying the works of thy hands there, and God has a wonderful work that he has created with his hand. Brother Bill, after service this morning, was asking me what I thought about all this emphasis on Mother Earth, because he heard so much about Earth Day and Mother Earth, and he was frustrated beyond measure with all the emphasis on Mother Earth. And I told him that I agree, I understand. We're in a situation where Romans says they have worshiped the creature more than the Creator. There. And here he talks about the work of people's own hands, and people begin to worship their own creativity, the idols that they have set up. And at the end of this, God's going to destroy all the adversaries, all the witchcrafts, all the graven images, all the works of man's hands. He's going to do that in verse 14, and I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. At the end of it, there's going to be vengeance. So the kingdom that he will establish, there has been a wonderful period of grace where God extends grace to any who will call, like the two blind men this morning that cried out, "Have mercy upon us." And Jesus stopped everything he was doing and showed them mercy. And we serve a merciful God. But one day, the mercy of God will end. The Bible says he is long-suffering, but one day his patience will end. And verse 15 tells us that. He says, "And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard." The anger and fury of God is going to come upon the heathen like they've never heard before. Not even like when God destroyed the earth because of the sin in Noah's day. Not even like when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. There's going to be anger and fury of the Lord when he executes vengeance upon the heathen. And now we live in a day of mercy. That's why it's so important that we need to be sharing with others the mercies of God. What a theme for my soul. The mercies of God are available today. There's coming a time at the end of the kingdom before God ushers us into all eternity in his presence. There's going to be a judgment. There's going to be vengeance. And the millennial kingdom is described here. Now, next Sunday evening, we'll look at chapters 6 and 7, and we will see that the judge is coming. Judgment is coming. The deliverer is there. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, delivers people from the judgment if they will turn to him. And then next Sunday, we'll finish out this little book of Micah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the prophecies of Scripture. Father, thank you for the millennial kingdom that is promised to us. Lord, there's so much about it that we don't understand. But Lord, we know that you're going to be there and we're going to be in your presence. And we thank you for all that you have prepared for us. We thank you that you are a God of mercy, that you're long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. So Lord, we see the urgency of being a testimony for you, because there's coming a time when the anger and the fury of the Lord will be greater than this world has ever seen it before. And then those who have rejected Christ and his mercy will not have opportunity to be saved. So, Father, help us to spread the good news of the mercy of God while there is opportunity. May we see people saved even this week, and delivered from the great vengeance and wrath of God that will come on all the heathen, as the Scripture says. Thank you again for your love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.